The teachers can't help everyone. We have to be able to help ourselves in this practice. The teachers can tell us something, give us a teaching, and then we have to evaluate ourselves and see, why is it that the teacher told me this or asked me this? We have to observe ourselves and see. We see where are our mistakes. Let's not use just blind belief. Let's use observation. See, how is our mind, how is it behaving? In the old days when Longpa was a layman, his mind would be bright and light, but it wouldn't be moving or changing. It would just stay bright. And he felt like, this is wrong. This isn't how the Buddha taught that it is. He went to Luangda Mahabua, great teacher, and said, you know, why isn't there any developments? I think that my mind formed this state. If we think about when we wake up in the morning, and if we're practitioners, we think about practicing when we wake up in the morning, and when we do, our mind will immediately go into whatever channel that it goes into. When we practice, we'll get to see what mistake we're making or what the mind's habit is when we think of practicing, what it goes and does. When the master tells us that we're doing something wrong, we don't think, oh, well, the teacher, master must be mistaken. We don't think that. We come back and we notice, we observe ourselves and see why the teacher said that. It's tough, though, when we encounter a fake master, when that isn't the real deal, an imposter. And it's really hard to develop. We have to have the right amount of merit to encounter true teachers. When Longpa was 7 years old, he went to Wat Asokaram, the temple, and met Master Li, or Tanpa Li. He taught him the mindfulness of the in and out breath, breathing in, bud, breathing out, do, breathing in, bud, breathing out, do, counting one, breathing in, bud, breathing out, do, counting two, until sip. And then the master taught him to then, once he reaches 10, to then count down back to one. But he was young. Longpa was a very young child at the time. It was too hard to count backwards, so he just counted up to 100. And he didn't really know why he was breathing, just the master said, breathe, so he did it. It didn't take long, and his mind became very peaceful, bright, and beautiful. It started with just breathing in and breathing out and reciting Buddha. His breath would be long at first, but as the breath got more peaceful, then the breath got shorter and shorter until it was just at the tip of the nose and became, and then light appeared. There'll even be a feeling as if there's no breathing going on at all, and there'll be bright light appearing. The object of contemplation changes from the breath at that time then to the light instead. Can start playing with the light, making it bigger, expanding it, or shrinking it. We have something called upatipa, which is the light sign that appears. If we get interested in moving into the light, then it's like we can travel and see this and see that. We forget to see the mind. In the end, we can't really trust what we see in our mind's eye. We get lost or enamored by these states and waste a lot of time and actually increase our defilements rather than decrease them, thinking that we're good at this or we got to see things that other people couldn't. But when we have correct mindfulness, our mind jumps into the correct pathway. When Longpa learned with Master Li, he was able to have concentration, samadhi. He was able to have mindfulness, sati. But he didn't know how to practice the path of wisdom. So years later, he practiced like this for a long time. He was reading for a while he listened to the radio and listened to Dhamma on the radio. He's lucky that he didn't listen to anything that was wrong teaching. He was taught to keep breathing and have mindfulness. And he was taught, whatever you do, have mindfulness. But at the time, he didn't really know what mindfulness really was. All he knew was practicing meditation and able to have a knower, an observer mind, but it was just still. He didn't know what to do. He was told sometimes in Buddhism to contemplate the body. So he would contemplate the body, pay attention to his skin, his hair, his skin, his bones, and when he would pay attention to them, they would disappear in his mind, they would just explode. He would look very deep into the different aspects of the body, into the different elements of the body, and they would all disappear. And they weren't, could see that they weren't substantial, weren't a person. But it didn't really satisfy him. Just whatever he would take a look at would disappear, would explode and disappear, whatever he would look at. Didn't know what to do, just would go away. It was a boring practice for him. So eventually he got to visit Master Dun, Luang Pu Dun, who taught him how to watch his mind and have mindfulness of mind. At first, when he went out to meet him, Luang Pu Dun wasn't very busy. Not many people knew him, and a lot of people didn't even believe that he was a great practitioner, monk. But Longpa went to the right place. Some of the great masters, like Longpu Wen, at the time, he was hard to approach. There were too many people around him. Longpu Cha was ill. So he went to Longpu Dun. Longpu Dun, he read in a magazine once, and got very interested about his teachings, reading his teachings about how sending the mind out is suffering. And the mind that doesn't get sent out is the end of suffering. Everybody else seemed to be practicing paying attention to the body, contemplating the body. But there weren't very many people that watched the mind at the time. But he taught Bumpa to watch the mind. Master Dun actually even taught most people not to watch the body, but he taught Bumpa to watch the mind. We have to listen to the principles of the practice and evaluate ourselves and see what would be appropriate for us, because the teachers can't teach us one at a time so much anymore. There's too many people learning. Because some of us are more inclined to practice watching the body, some the mind, but in the end we all have to notice the mind. When we breathe, we have to see the mind. Or whatever meditation object we choose, we still end up seeing the mind. So we pick a meditation object and we don't be with the meditation object just for peace and to relax. Bumpa wasted a lot of time doing that over 20 years, just keeping the mind peaceful and still, inactive. So if we want a really special practice, let's find a meditation object that we're really happy with and comfortable with, and watch what the mind does from there. For Long Pa, paying attention to the in and out breath was something that was very comfortable for him, and he would develop and grow and be happy. When he used a mantra, Budo, instead, he would feel frustrated, aggravated. It wasn't the right object for him. We have to see what works for us. The one thing, type of meditation he does not recommend is one where we're not paying attention to our body and not paying attention to our mind. Like if we're paying attention to a flame or paying attention to something outside of ourselves. The mind can get peaceful, but we can't practice wisdom from there. The Buddha taught that we have to come back within ourselves to learn the path of wisdom. And it's hard to do that when our mind is sent out. And breathing is the body. So we watch the breath, breathing out, aware, breathing in, aware. When we're observing the body, who's the observer? The mind is the observer. The body is that which is observed. If we're walking, we can see the body is walking and the mind is the observer, is the one that is aware. The mind is aware. The body is what we are aware of, what the mind is aware of. And then as we walk, the mind gets lost, we know so. The mind gets restless, we know so. Or with a mantra like Budo. Budo is, the word is a reminder to come back and see our own mind. We don't practice Budo just to be peaceful. Budo means being aware, awake, and joyful. So let's recite Budo if we do, and be aware and awake, not the thinker, not the fabricator. So if we practice Budo and we feel happy doing so, then we do so, but we don't do it just to be peaceful. We know when the mind escapes and goes out and thinks instead. There was a great teacher that said, Budo, and then know your own mind. Budo, know your mind. Budo, know your mind. Khun Mae Chandi, Mother Chandi, she was a great master, Luang Tha Mahabua's sister. And Longpa met her once and she said, how did you practice to arrive at the same state that I did? She asked Longpa and he said he would breathe and watch until the mind was bright at the tip of the nostrils and then notice the mind moving out from there again and again. Every time the mind would move out, he would see it move out again, know immediately that it had moved out. The mind would become the stable observer, because the opposite of the mind that is the stable observer in correct samadhi is the mind that is moving out towards phenomena. So when we see the mind move out towards things, then the mind becomes the correct observer. And Mother Jandi, she practiced very similarly, but she used Budo instead until it was bright out in front of her nose as well. And she would practice saying Budo and notice the mind moving out. Lopa noticed the breath and watch the breath and notice the mind moving out. So where does the mind move out to? The mind can move out to think. It can move out to any of the five senses. Go out to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, to feel. But in principle, there are two types of ways that the mind moves out. One for practitioners. One is the mind moves out to think. And the other is the mind moves out to practice, meaning moving out to focus on a particular object. We don't want either of these. These aren't what we're practicing to achieve. So when the mind moves out to think, that's too loose. When the mind moves in to focus on a meditation object, that's too tight. So there's really two ways to get lost. One is we get lost in being moving inward towards self-control. The other is outward to lost in the world. So the mind moves out in these two directions. Mind can go out and think about this, think about that. That's the mind moving out. The mind goes towards a meditation object. That's moving out too. So when we practice, we can see the mind move to one and move to the other. If we keep watching, then the mind will start to precisely remember this phenomenon of the mind moving out. And soon, the mind will be able to automatically see the mind moves out, it'll know. The mind moves out, it'll know. The mind moves out, it'll know. The mind will be a very wholesome mind, a mind that is highly mindful. The mind is wholesome when it is mindful. It is not wholesome when it isn't mindful. Mindfulness is involved in every wholesome mind. The mind that moves to hear, that moves to speak, is very natural. It's not a defilement. But we can still have the mindfulness that sees that, and then the mind will be truly wholesome. That's the most important thing, to be able to see and observe. So what is it that makes mindfulness arise? It's precisely remembering phenomena. So let's get to really see and observe the movement, and the mind will be able to remember this state really clearly, and so it'll become aware of it automatically when it sees the mind movement. We have to let the mind move. We let it move first, and then we know that it has moved. The mind will become awake, aware, and joyful, like Budo. And our samadhi, our ability to achieve the true stable observer, will be a momentary experience. The mind moves out, it's not the observer. Then it's seen, and it is the observer. Moves out, and then is seen. Each time it is seen, then it becomes the observer for a moment. In this case, we get both samadhi and sati. We get both the observer concentration and mindfulness. Once we're able to have the stable observer, we can walk the path of wisdom and develop our wisdom practice. So this is the important step in practicing wisdom, is being able to have the stable observer. Everything has a cause to arise. Everything is cause and effect. So if we want mindfulness to arise, we have to do the cause for mindfulness to arise, and that is precisely remembering or recollecting phenomena. If we want to have wisdom, the cause for wisdom to arise is having a stable and separate observer, which is called correct samadhi. So if our mindfulness is the correct type of mindfulness like this, then we can have the correct type of observer as well. So every wholesome mind has mindfulness. But the type of wholesome mind that wants to listen to the Dhamma, that's wholesome to want to listen to Dhamma, but it's not the strong type of mindfulness. It's just normal, general type of mindfulness. It's not the type of mindfulness that wakes us up. So we have to practice seeing this body and mind of ours in order to gain the right type of mindfulness. We breathe, and we see what the mind does. We walk, and we see what the mind does. See this body, see this mind often. We pick a meditation object so that we can see the mind moving out. Watch the mind moving out often, practice this, and then later on, or soon enough, our mind will have remembered what this state looks like and then be able to recognize it on its own. And we'll have really quality type of samadhi, because there's a lot of low quality types of samadhi that people are doing. Stressful types, low energy types, daisy, hazy, forgetting about ourselves. These are bad types of samadhi. Knowing things outside of ourselves, knowing things that are happening outside of ourselves, is the wrong type of samadhi when it comes to wisdom. It's a bad and useless type of samadhi when it comes to practicing for wisdom. We need to be able to be aware of our own body and mind for wisdom to arise. And usually our mind is doing things all the time. Here we're becoming the observer of what it's doing. And this, the the mind, the body gets hungry, and then the mind gets angry, or frustrated, or agitated, right? But the mind didn't get hungry, the body got hungry, but the mind got aggravated. Or the mind gets sleepy, the body gets sleepy. It's not the mind that gets sleepy, the body gets sleepy. And then the mind is angry about it. But the mind didn't get sleepy. And we observe the mind like this. And the mind becomes the observer rather than the doer. The mind will become the observer in such a way that we didn't control it or force it to be the observer. That is uncomfortable. So we don't force the mind to be the observer. Instead, we observe. We see the mind moving out to different things. And the mind becomes the observer by itself. It's light, bright, gentle, nimble, and workable, useful. It doesn't go and interfere, liking this state, disliking that state, and trying to move and change them. It's the correct type of samadhi, the correct type of sati. So let's know and observe our own minds. The mind moves in to focus, moves out to focus on something, we know so. The mind moves out to think about something, we know so. Then we'll have correct type of samadhi. But if we're not an expert yet, we have to be careful, because sometimes when we're practicing like this and our mind enters a deep type of meditation and becomes still within itself, and the world disappears for a little while, has no knowledge, the mind has no knowledge of the outside world. We have to be careful for that not to happen while we're doing something like driving or something dangerous. So we have to make sure we don't go too deep when we're practicing, when we're out doing things that could be dangerous. So let's practice to be experts and have a quality mind. Let's be aware and not let the mind go out and get enamored or mesmerized by states outside of ourselves. Let's stay aware of this body and mind. If our mind does go out and get mesmerized by any state outside of ourselves, let's just make sure that we keep awareness, that we don't get lost, daisy, hazy, or too dreamy, and fall into it and then lose awareness of ourselves. It can be dangerous even. So the mind becoming, having correct samadhi, we didn't intend for the correct samadhi. We weren't trying to gain correct samadhi. We're just seeing the mind that doesn't have correct samadhi, the mind that moves out. That's the best type of samadhi. There won't be any intention or holding the mind as the observer in any way. We just see the mind moving, and then it's aware, and then it moves again, and then it's aware. Even just knowing this is enough to make it all the way to being an enlightened being, an arahant. Soon we'll see that the mind that is the stable observer isn't something that we can maintain. It isn't controllable. The mind that moves out isn't controllable either. So the mind moves out to think, we know so. The mind moves out to focus, we know so. soon we'll see even that the observer of this we can't keep or hold either. That's the wisdom that sees that none of these things are under control, and that they don't have an owner, that they move by themselves. If we see that the mind is not us, then nothing will ever be mistaken to be us ever again. None of the five aggregates will be seen as a self. A stream enterer at the first enlightenment knows that the mind and body are not us. And then from there, we'll see after that that this mind and the body are also suffering, suffering proper. We'll see that if this mind is suffering, then everything is in the world is suffering. We release from the mind, we release from everything, we release from the whole world. So let's observe and see what is the appropriate meditation object for us. Whether it be watching Buddha, whether it be watching the breath, whether it be watching our abdomen or watching the body, walking, whatever it might be, we do so so that we can observe our mind from there. If we don't observe our mind, we just are filled with unwholesome states.